Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث النبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليرشد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Alhamdulillah. Well, I just saw a cord fall over there. I don't know if it's supposed to be hooked in or anything. Okay. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Wa a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya bani adama qad anzalna alaykum libasan yuwari sawaatikum wa rishan. ولباس التقوى ذلك خير ذلك من آيات الله لعلهم يذكرون. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. This is the 26th ayah of Surah Al-A'raf, that is chapter 7. And an expression of it is, O children of Adam, we have bestowed garment or raiment upon you to cover your shame, as well as to be an adornment to you. But the raiment or the garment of righteousness, they translate taqwa as righteousness, but the raiment of taqwa, that is the best. Such are among the signs of Allah that you may receive admonition, they say. But the yazakkarun, it is that you might be among those who think and remember. Who think and remember. And we say Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. There's a report from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says that Allah loves to forgive so much that if he had created Adam and Adam did not sin, he would have taken him out of existence and created one who would sin so that he could forgive him. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive. So, a little humor, you know, that doesn't mean run out, well, I'm going to give him a whole lot to forgive. No, not, no, that's not the way of the Muslim. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked, or rather Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and she was asked about his prayer, and his prayer was just so plentiful, just so much, his life, such that his life could be defined practically by prayer or salat. And so those who had heard about it, they asked the Prophet regarding his prayer. He said, O Prophet, you've been forgiven the sins of the past, the present, and the future. Why is it for you to pray so much? And the Prophet, peace be upon him, he says, shouldn't I be grateful? Shouldn't I be grateful? So while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not, quote, need prayer in his daily practice as an expiation of sin or as a purification from sin, he's telling us that his prayer is fundamentally prayers of gratitude. In continuing the subject of taqwa, we're just taking pieces at a time as we go through it, because it's so much. I have an admission for you that we started out this topic 16 weeks ago, and under the title Taqwa and the Game of Life. And then as we continue to look at it, as I continue to look at it, I just simply got reminded, informed, or convinced that, you know what, that's the whole thing, that's everything. which means that, okay, other titles are going to come up, but fundamentally, when you understand the relationship between taqwa and the game of life, the role that it plays in the game of life, you basically understand everything that you need to understand, Allahu A'lam. Because the subject just keeps stretching out in front. It's like I see this and then say, oh, okay, this verse, oh, okay. Well, then what about that? Oh, okay. And it just keeps going. And then in the other areas of study that I have, and I listen to people, you know, at various levels, but mashallah, alhamdulillah, this is no boast. I listen to the people whose scholarship is of the highest in this world. When I say this world, academics, intellectuals, philosophers, scientists, the highest in this world, and also, mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, the recognized scholarship in, quote-unquote, our world, the Muslim world. And as I continually expose to all of them, I just get reminded that that's already in al-Islam. That is, meaning for the Muslim, obviously, is given. But I'm talking about for the highest in this world, their science, their philosophy, their academics, their intellectuals, when they reveal and talk about what they have arrived at as conclusions from their decades of research and study, and they say, we have concluded this. And then I say, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Allah had already given that to an unlettered prophet in the desert 1,445 years ago. Alhamdulillah, lunar years. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So that being said, I'm saying that the highest conclusions of the best minds, and perhaps the best hearts and minds of this society, only come to conclusions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given us. He's already favored us with. However, we have not yet fully understood the gift that Allah has given us in the Quran and in the life model and message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, this becomes a part of our responsibility here. The Quran says, "Qul." The recitation escapes me right now. 17:84, 17 chapter 84 verse, where it says, "Qulu ya'malu ala shakila, fa rabbukum man huwa a'lamu man huwa ahda sabila." Sadaqallahu al-azim. says, say, قل, قل, say, كلوا يعملوا, all of you, act, على شاكلة, upon the way that you've been socialized, upon the way that you've been acculturated, upon the way you've been raised, the culture that you were raised in. فربكم, and your guardian evolver, أعلموا, he knows, من هو, whoever it is, he knows the one, أهد السبيل, the one who is on the straight path. So I want to focus right there on the idea of Shakila, the idea of Shakila. Shakila, you can hear the similarity in the sound of shackle, shackle and Shakila. Shakila, Arabic. Shackle, English, right? Shackle, it binds you, right? Shakila, it also binds you. It binds you to the group that socialized you. We get our identity from our socializing group. And so that identity is what binds us. It's like that's who we are. That's who we that's who we're made. In fact, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says everyone is born al fitr. Everyone is born on the original pattern for humanity. But it is their society, their culture, that causes them to be otherwise. So we're put, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ, we're created in the most excellent mold, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ, then fall to the lowest of the low, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ عَامِنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except those who have faith and do righteousness. All right, so we have this original nature, فِطْر, we have this original nature that we're born upon, but then we come into a society. In fact, the Arabic term in the hadith of Muhammad, abawahu, their abawahu, it gets translated as parents, but then it also, in the root of it, is actually fathers. And when you read the Quran, when the prophets would come to the people telling them, come to the way that Allah invites you to, he said, no, we would rather follow the ways of our fathers. We would rather follow the ways of our fathers. And following the ways of your fathers, another way of saying, well, we'll stick with the socialization that we've been used to. We'll stick to the acculturation that we've been used to. We'll stick to the values that we have been raised in. You are trying to take us away from how we were raised and what our fathers gave us and what our society gave us. That's always the threat to them. And so people become shackled to their socialization. Just like Abu Talib, who was the protector of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the beginning of his mission, and even on his deathbed, there were the unbelievers on one side, and there was Muhammad on the other side. Muhammad just wanted him to just say Allah. Just say Allah is God. Just say, you don't have to do the whole thing. Just say Allah. And those on the other side, you're going to turn away from your fathers. You're going to turn away from what you were raised in. You're going to turn away. Abu Talib couldn't do it, wouldn't do it. He was shackled to it. Even though he had given his protection, he had given his service, he had used the authority of his office to protect Muhammad in his mission. And his passing was a great loss to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to the community at large, because that's when the real oppression of the tribes and their leaders, among them the utmost Abu Jahl, begin to oppress. But that the point to be made here is that it's the fathers, it's the culture, it's the socialization that shackles, and people's identity is bound to the way that they have been socialized. Now, I say all that because now I have to speak about Adam. Adam, the verse begins, Ya Bani Adam. Yes, Ya Bani Adam. So we are the children of Adam. But what have we been socialized to think about Adam? We in this society have been socialized to think about Adam in this one line that is repeated in this society: by one man's sin, death entered into the world. This is Bible, right? By one man's sin, death entered into the world, right? So Adam is the cause of all of our problems. And then when you go on the, you go further on that, they said, and Eve was his problem. So Eve told Adam, eat the apple. And that's the apple. There's no apple in that verse, right? It said, eat the apple. There's no apple, but this is the world, this is the way the world gave it to us. In fact, I heard somebody today, you know, YouTube, you can find almost anything on it, that the Apple symbol for Apple computer is actually an icon for that idea. I had never thought about it until I heard that person, that apple with a bite out of it. That's Adam's apple. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. So it's right in front of us all the time, reinforcing, restating, tightening up the shackles in our mind. Because, you know, you look at that apple with that little gap in it, one place you don't think about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and that's what they, that's what Shaitan, who was Eve's problem, I'm talking biblical now, he don't want you to think about it. This is why at the end of this verse, one of the pieces at the end of this verse, it says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَكُمْ يَذَكِّرُونَ, that you might think and remember. Okay? The value and the power in this world is for you to stay asleep. Right? And even don't buy into that woke culture thing, because that's also a part of Shaitan. Shaitan said he's going to come from the right, from the left, from before, from behind. Oh, you got that figured out? And then you turn this way, and he got something over there. And the verse that actually follows this, 27, so you can see this pattern. The verse that actually follows this, 7:27, it says, Satan and his hosts watch you from a position that you see them not. And you ain't seeing him, but he's seeing you. And so if you figure out one of his tricks, then he's got another trick over here. So if you don't really understand, you think you're going from the left to the right, when in fact, Shaitan has just changed disguises, changed his strategy to catch those who don't have taqwa. Let's be clear. To catch those who don't have taqwa and keep them in the merry-go-round, keep them in the carnival that he has for this world. So, Adam. So what have we been socialized into with regard to Adam? By one man's sin, death entered into the world. It is, this world tells us that that Adam is sinful by nature. That that Adam is sinful by nature. This is what the world we were raised in, that tells us that Adam is sinful by nature. Islam says, no, it's not true. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. And even the Bible says, when God created man, he said it, and it was good. And I think, I'm not doing the biblical thing strictly, might not feel like it, but I'm not explicitly digging deep into the Bible, but I believe when God said, after all the other days, he created this, he created that, and it was good. He created this, he created that, and it was good. He created this, he created that, it was, and that was good. When he created man, he said, and that was very good. It was very good. That right there is telling us that there's a, listen, I had to be very clear about this. In Al-Islam, in the opening verses of the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, this is the book in which there is no doubt. And moving on further, with Prophet Muhammad, speaking of Prophet Muhammad, said, we believe in what was revealed to you, speaking of Prophet Muhammad, and what مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and what was revealed before your time. So I, as a Muslim, believe in the truth of the Bible. And those things that have, even some of the things that I'm speaking to right now, which is why I'm stopping right there, or some of the things that I'm speaking to right now, you have people who will interpret things in the Bible in a negative way because they have a paradigm that everything in the Bible is the poison book. Everything in the Bible is something to be rejected. That's wrong. In Al-Islam, we believe in the truth in the Bible, but we believe no other book has been and is protected the way that the Quran is protected. Right? The other books Allah, leaving man in his freedom, he said, okay, that's what you're going to do. You're going to change the words from the right times and places and sell it for a miserable price. Okay, go on. Go on. Go on. That's a part of it. But when I send my last message, and when I send the last message, it's my book, I'm protecting it, I'm promulgating it, I'm explaining it, you will not be able to do with this book what you did with the others, and it's going to become an indictment. And even in your changes that you put in it, I'm going to give my servants a way of understanding it so that they won't be lost in it. But also, the changes that you make, they will also become indictments for you. And you think you were flipping it to make it say what you wanted to say. I'll take your flip, and it'll still say what I, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, want it to say. Oh, it's the fact. It's not like, I guess, well, let me say something. Man was created in our come, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. That's what the Bible says. Right? Let us make. So, the critics, rightly so, mashallah, alhamdulillah, in this instance, they say, well, who's that us? Who's that us that's being talked about? You know, and then they went and talked to each other. Whoever that us was, now they had a group conversation, right? I'm trying not to laugh because it's serious. It's like, what are we going to do? It's like, okay, see, if you're us, if that us right there was the same us as we have in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks of himself in the plural. Huh? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ We created the human being. We. To us is your final return. So this term, this plurality of term, you find in the Quran. But that was not the objection. Listen, to know what the revelation actually means, you have to know what it meant to the first audience. Are you with me? The first audience are the 7th century Arabs who were masters of the Arabic language. Even before Al-Islam gave it its grammar. The Quran gave it its grammar. That's why it was said that they didn't have language, because their language had not yet come into grammar. So my point is that no Arab of the Prophet's time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, you say God is one. Look, okay. Why you say us? Why you say we? No Arab challenge there. No, you won't find that. Why? We know what he means. We know he don't mean plurality, because he already knocked down all our 350 gods, so it's like, we know that's not what he's talking about, that's not what it is, and we know about the royal we. The royal we is that there's one who, in this case, in whatever the case might be, I can remember, some of y'all are not old enough, obviously, Nikita Khrushchev, he was a former Russian dude, you know, right after Joe Stalin, they killed everybody, whatever. In the UN, Khrushchev took off his shoe. He took off his shoe. This is the UN. He took off his shoe, and he slammed it on his table in front of his desk in front of him. We will destroy you, right? He was speaking, quote unquote, with the power and referencing himself as representing all the powers of Russia, right? Well, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we, then he say, I speak for everything. I speak for everything and everybody. I can say that. So Allah says we, it's the royal we. So on the issue of image, I said it's going to be one idea. So then, let us make man in our image. Now, when you follow it out the way that it's written in the Bible, it clearly reinforces the idea that it's not one. It's a plurality, right? Read the story of the Tower of Babel, right? Tower of Babel. They were going to build a tower up there so we can get to God. Then this God, in the Bible, he talks about, come on, okay, what are we going to do? They're going to build a tower, so we need to confound their language and make it impossible for them to do that. Here's a literal group of people talking. All right? So let's take that away. Let's take that away, right? This in our image. All you have to do is just make one twist. What's the twist? You don't even have to change the word. All you have to do is just change what the word means when you read it. What are you saying? Our image. Yeah? If I say to us, right here, I say, this is our masjid. This is our masjid. This is our masjid. What am I saying? I'm saying that it belongs to us. It belongs to us. Huh? So we can say, it said, where it says, come let us, if we take that us in the royal we spirit, this is just for understanding. It said, come let us make man in our image. Okay, now change that our to the possessive form of our. What would it be? It means the pattern that we want him to be in. The pattern that we have devised for him. And that, without the trouble of language that you get from the Bible, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah 30, Ayah 30. فِتْتُ اللَّهِ لَتِي فَتْرَ نَاتَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْكِ لَا. Fitra is the pattern. And this goes to what we're saying, that everyone is born on fitra. Everyone being born on fitra, meaning that I have a design for the human being. I have given him his form. I have given him a place within the system. I have given him a potential for his growth from simple to complex. And I have given his form and place a role in my guidance. All that Surah Al-A'la, which was a primary verse that the Prophet would usually recite in his Jumu'ah prayer portion. So the idea is that when Allah created the human being, fitr is his pattern. Fitr means original without any precedent. Original without, it never existed before. And no one else could imagine it, design it, what have you. When Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ, we created him in most excellent mold. Which mold is that? The idea that I, Allah, have for him. That's the right pattern. That's the right order. That's the right form. That is Adam. That is Adam. Adam is the human excellence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Right? And that's what we are all born in. So this Adam being sinful by nature is not Islamic. It's not Islamic. The human being is in the most excellent form. And even if I use the term perfect, it's perfect from the perspective of Allah. It is as Allah intended for it to be, that's perfect. When it's what Allah intended for it to be, it's perfect, right? But usually when we think about, well, I'm not perfect, you know, to err is human and to forgive is divine, those kinds of things. When you, as a human being, live life, you're going to sin. It's an inevitable part of your existence. There is no human being that does not and has not sinned. This is why there are those who, looking at it and observing it as religious people in that sense, but not fully guided, they think since sin has been so consistent, perennial, ever-present among human beings, they come to the conclusion the human being is sinful by nature. But that's the wrong conclusion. Sin, yes, that's a part of our human existence, human behavior, but the blessing and the uniqueness and the speciality is to turn around and ask the Creator for forgiveness. Those two things together is our perfection. Allahu Akbar. Those two things, you take away one, you got a problem. Right? But you treat them together, perfect. Muslim, please remember, the perfect favor of Allah is al-Islam. It's the perfect favor. Listen, people have problems in this world right now because they don't know how to understand, okay, what about this, what about that? You know, even, you know, no disrespect intended, but all those letters of Paul and all, which is two-thirds of the New Testament, basically talking about, you know, well, how do you deal with this and how do you deal with that and how do you deal with that? Well, the only thing that can deal with it is the blood of Jesus. Okay, no disrespect intended. Well, that's the wrong conclusion. That's the wrong conclusion. Why? Because you're not seeing Allah, God. Even if you don't want to use Allah as the name. You're not, when you say that, you're not seeing God right. Now, I think we could all use that term, God, and understand we're talking about the one who is over everything. But you're not seeing him right. If he said, what did it say? And it disappointed God that he made man. And it saddened God. Something. God got sad. And so I'm going to tear up everything. That's basically what it is. He's saying that. And so curse the woman, curse the man, curse the snake, curse the land. But wait a minute, wait. Who did all this? The snake didn't make itself. The woman didn't make herself. The man didn't make himself. Plus you said it was very good. So now you're a creator that makes mistakes? That's the wrong idea. So, I mean, we could stop there in the context of, no, this couldn't be God. How can it be God and he make mistakes? How can it be God and he doesn't see all? If he's walking in the garden, that's the issue. And then God came walking in the garden. And then he didn't know where they were. Maybe that's where the game hide and seek came from. You know what I'm saying? It's like, where are you? It's like, wait a minute. You're God, right? So it's like, okay, look, we can move away from that. So dead Muslims, the favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for us, given to us, is Allah saying, yes, this is my name, Allah, this is my name. And I also have attributes. All right? And those attributes deal with every aspect of matters that come into your life. Without going through them, this is something that you should study. You should study. But we're at this point, as it relates to Adam as being the quote-unquote the man of sin and sinful by nature, and the conclusion that Allah, it's not Allah, that God, the way that it's understood, in order to fix this thing that man has done, I have to take someone that is completely innocent and then kill him for everybody else. You got to ask yourself, is this God? I mean, is this... So this is why it's an issue for us. But where did it start? It started with man is sinful by nature. But you made him and you said he was very good. See? So... I mentioned that our perfection is those two things. Sin and repentance. And that's what you read in the story of Adam in his beginning. In the Quran, read that. In the Surah Al-Baqarah, just read the first 50 verses. You'll get to it. And, so he committed that error. Somebody's trying to call me and I don't cut it off without... cutting it off. Okay, so we're still good. So where were we? Adam and the issue of sinful by nature and repentance, right? So in the Quran, yes, Adam and his wife Eve is not mentioned. It's not mentioned by name. There's a reason for that. Allah knows best. But Adam, he repented. He met a word from his Lord, and he repented, and Allah turned to him. And then the rest of our life and existence comes after that. This is all actually pre-earth. It's all actually pre-earth. But so what I want to get to is that this sin and repentance. There's a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam where a man committed a sin and he turned to Allah and asked for forgiveness. And Allah said, you've been forgiven. He said, but before that, the report says, a servant of mine has committed a sin and he recognizes that he has a Lord who punishes and who forgives sin, and he forgave him. And then it happened a second time, a third time. I think it may have happened as many as five times, but at least three times. A servant of mine committed a sin, recognized that he is the Lord that that punishes and forgives. I have forgiven. And at the end of that report, the report says, go, my servant, do what you will. I have forgiven you. Right? So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's showing that sin is not, it doesn't hurt God, weaken God, offend God, or in the sense that he himself, like God, takes it personal. The reports of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, all of you sin by day and by night. That includes everybody. All of you sin by day and by night. Ask me for forgiveness. I will forgive you. Shaitan said that he is going to cause the children of Adam to sin and to sin and to sin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that as long as his sins, as the children of Adam, his sin can be as high as the waves of the ocean. And as long as he has not associated partners with me, I will forgive him. That's the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks of us is don't associate any partners with him. As I conclude this portion of the khutbah, all of this, you know, calls for more detail. But I want you just to get the sense of it. See, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make you go through some massive spiritual gymnastics in order to get his forgiveness. He doesn't take the innocent for the guilty. The Quran says, لَا يُكَلِفَ اللَّهُ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah plays on no servant a burden beyond his scope. And he also says that no bearer of burdens can bear the burden of another. And so that is, if I do wrong, I'm the one that's quote unquote on the hook for that, not somebody else. That's unjust. Why should I, who did nothing, have to pay for the one who did all the stuff? No. That's not correct. It's a dishonor to the Creator in his attribute of mercy, love, justice, kindness, etc. So when we recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sin, that's the him. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayh, he said that the scholars say that when the Quran says that Allah forgives all sins. This you find in the Quran. Allah forgives all sins. They say it means that Allah forgives all sins without your asking. But if you commit the sin of associating partners with Allah, you can only be forgiven that by asking for his forgiveness before you die. That Allah is forgiving. That's his attribute. I feel the need to take it one more step. If it is Allah's attribute that he's ever present, do you believe that that's an attribute of Allah? That he's ever present? That he's omnipresent? Not only always, always and everywhere. All right, okay, well then apply that to forgiveness. Is he forgiving sometimes, but he's not forgiving at other times? Well, there's sometimes that he don't forgive. No, Allah is the all-forgiving. But if you reject Allah, well then what you've rejected is his forgiveness. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر الحمد لله All children of Adam, we bestowed taqwa, this raiment. It says the raiment, libas. لباس يواري سوآتكم ورشام ولباس تقوى ذلك خير. So the raiment that Allah has given us is the raiment of taqwa originally. And what is this taqwa? This taqwa is being conscious in the way that Allah would have us be conscious. Adam's sin, quote unquote, that's spoken of in the Quran, Allah explains it. Allah says to us that he had no intention. It was not his intention to go against the way, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he slipped. He forgot. And because he forgot, that's how he fell out of the state that he was in. Taqwa is consciousness. When something slips your mind, it means that you're unconscious of it. But yazakkaru, when you think again, then you remember. So now you're back. Right? And the Quran is called the dhikr. It's called the dhikr. So the what we lost in terms of our failure and what was taken away from us through our socialization, it gets restored through the Quran and through the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why it is such a favor for Allah to put in our hearts for us to say, I want what Allah revealed in the Quran, and I want what Muhammad models for me. And when you embrace that, now you're never at a loss for what should I do. Because life is complicated. And life leaves us many quandaries and questions and conundrums that this world is facing right now because they don't have a recourse to a perfect source of guidance and information. Wallahi, I'm telling you, those who you might deem to be the best of minds and best of hearts in this society that are offering solutions. The Pope himself said, he said, look, there's three words. I know I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. There are three words. If y'all can just look, you're just kind of like, look, I taught y'all the whole Bible, the whole doggone history of Catholicism and everything. Y'all still ain't getting it straight. Look, just learn how to say please, thank you, and sorry. It's kind of like, come on, y'all. That's the Pope. It's like, oh, y'all. So what does that mean? There's a book, the author says, everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten. How to share, how to get along with others. Kindergarten. All of which is being lost nowadays. So you see the retrogression that's happening in our society, the infantilization of our society. Look at Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the history. Look for Jafar's conversation to the Najash, to the Nagus, when the bounty hunters, when the ones who want to extradite the Muslims from Abyssinia, Habashi, and bring them back for further persecution to Mecca, when it was asked of him to talk about what kind of life were they living before and what did Muhammad bring them, he went through a whole litany of the way that their life was. He said, we ate, this stays in my mind stronger than almost all the other elements. He said, we ate carrion. Do you know what carrion is? Carrion is worse than roadkill. It's roadkill, that's our language, modern language. It's roadkill that has gone rotten. Rotten roadkill. That's a long way from Zabiha, trust that. But Muhammad took him from that to Zabiha. It said that their life as a human being had been so decimated. Do you understand that? You know, a decimal. You know what a decimal is? It's like, boom, period. And everything gets smaller after that. Their humanity had been so decimated, falling to the lowest of the low. This is why there's so much detail in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I got to tell you how to wipe your behind. Y'all ain't know about that. I tell you a normal, natural way to have intimate relations with your wives. I got to teach you which hand to eat with. That's how low the Arabs of the Prophet's time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's how low they were. And so when we're in a case, in a situation now, where the Pope himself have to say, just be nice to each other. You know how low this society has fallen. So what do we have when we have Al-Islam? When we have Al-Islam, we have the reconstruction of our humanity in a book. And in a model. Do you want to be what Allah created you to be? Or you want to be what the society socialized you into? And as Bilalians, people of African descent living in the Western Hemisphere, you know what the world wants you to be. And they keep paying people millions of dollars to keep modeling that for you and molding your mind and behavior to be that. So the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to put you in a condition where you're willing to say, I believe there's no God but Allah, and I believe that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and all this other stuff, I'm going to deal with it, but I'm going to make my references over here first to use as a screen and a filter to decide, okay, I'll take that, but I ain't taking that. Okay, I'll take that, but I ain't taking that. Why? Because the Quran and Muhammad say that ain't something I should take. Doesn't that make life simple? You know what I'm saying? So, that's the goal. May Allah guide us to it. وَرَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسيع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعده حفظهما وهو علي العظيم Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine graces. We thank you for your divine favors. We thank you for your blessing our hearts and our minds and our spirits with the desire to obey you. Oh Allah, we thank you for blessing us to know where to go in order to become what you created us to be. Oh Allah, we beg your protection from the wiles of Shaitan. We beg your protection from the deceptions of Shaitan. We beg your illumination so that we can recognize within and without that which is not good for our life and not good for our future and not good for our families and not good for our society. Oh Allah, bless us to be strong and to be disciplined so that we can be guided upon the guidance that you have provided for us in the Quran and in the life model of your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, we beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen.
you'll be so free.
نشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for University of Maine's Leadership. We just broadcast yesterday's recording of Jumu'ah, alhamdulillah. And we always invite your comments to begin our Saturday morning broadcast. So please, Blog Talk, press 1 on your phone. Come on through. We'd love to hear from you. And also, those of you who are tuning in through the StreamYard stream on Facebook, YouTube, you can type in comments or questions on whichever platform you're on. And inshallah, we see them, we will say them, inshallah. So mics open and et cetera. Imam Joel, does you? Is that on purpose or is that an accident? You good?
Yes, sir. What's up? No, sir. Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Wait, let me get straight on this.
Okay.
All right, go.
Okay, assalamu alaikum, ma'am, and everybody in the class on the call. Real quick, you made a comment in the khutbah when you addressed the term we. And you made the comment that it's Allah basically speaking as well. You used the example of the Russian prime minister before, but you used it an example. In our class Wednesday night in Islamic studies class, that question came up in terms mm-hmm. of the expression of the translation that said we. And so when I looked the word up, because it's a particle and it, means third person. But I wanted you, if you could, to kind of
expand. No. It means first person. It doesn't say third person.
I used it, the example of, for us in English, is sort of speaking in third person. They would say we start with first person. It gives us, I'm speaking, not in third person, but in the first person. When I say, well, Joel said this, and Imam Joel wants to do this. I'm not speaking in third person. I'm speaking in the first person.
I want you to go ahead, but I need to clarify step by step, because if you say your name in reference to something, then you are speaking in the third person.
Yes, sir.
That's correct. True.
Okay. So I was giving examples of how, in English, we would look at these things. So because when we say in English, we're over here doing okay, yeah, we understand I'm speaking for everybody. But then it's like, but if you're in the house by yourself and saying we're doing okay, it's a little bit, I was just trying to use that example, but it is.
The
particle is in the first person. Because I think that, and this goes back to having to learn the Quranic Arabic and understanding, the differences of when we see a word, when we see we in English and to see what it really means in Arabic. That's what I wanted you to kind of touch on.
You're actually making the point. I mean, that is the point I'll use the fact that I continue to use sin as a term throughout the khutbah. Even though I know the imam tells us grammar, etymology itself, for as far as the English word for sin, is actually from the sin that's in the Bible, especially that New Testament piece. It is from Greek. And the word sin in the Greek language is rooted in an archery term, which means to miss the mark, right? Mm. So it arrived as English to us in the word sin. But to get back to where it is,
in terms of what it actually means, it means to miss the mark. But sin in the Bible and in Western European Trinitarian Christianity, the way that that word sin has been established in the culture, then all that's been taken away from it, right? So words mean what the people who use it, how they categorize it, how they label it, where they place it, right? Just like, you know, like slang with us, you know, oh man, that was bad, man. And somebody said, yeah, man, he's sweet with that, right? So it's like, it's not exactly what the word means in some literal, unsocialized sense. The word means what it is in the context and in the audience and in the circumstance that is being spoken. So, yeah,
right.
Just like you said, when you say we, you know, we is, okay, we need a context before we can say what is actually meant. So when we talk about Allah's use of we, then the answer is he's speaking for everything and every, all creation, right, and all the powers
right.
of creation. We
right.
would do that, right? Now, when I
right.
say that, you know, it's like it could be, like you said, we doing all right. It could be the family. Right. You could be in the state. Let's take mashallah. We hope everybody is mashallah doing well. Like in was it Memphis or Tennessee where they had all the tornadoes and all the rest of that. You know. So
yeah.
If somebody asks, you know, how y'all doing over there? Well, yeah, we're fine. There's a context for it. So
yes,
yeah, it's all about context, and so it goes back to what you're pointing to when I said that you only know what something means when you know the context, the audience, the speaker, because it's all code in a clear sense of it. It's like hood language. It's just like that when I say hood language, right? So, well, somebody know what
yeah.
I mean when I say hood, right? Somebody know, what does you mean, hood? Something that you put on your head when you're talking about the part of the car? What are you talking about? So it's like, so it's really about being present with the audience who is hearing the term, the context in which the communication is happening. Now you can really abstract the particular meaning in that particular term, the way that term is used.
Yes, sir. And you made a quick point. I'm going to end with this. I want everybody, I'm not going to hold on. And I appreciate what you said, but you touched on because the example I want to use is, and we created you. You know, so when I said that, and you mentioned he's speaking in for the whole creation, because I said that
yeah.
he uses everything in the creation to get done what he wants to get done. So that
yeah,
was
yeah.
the piece that I touched on to understand what the we means. He's speaking for things
yeah.
that we would consider inanimate objects, but yet are in his plan, in his, you know,
oh,
in his
yeah.
down under his will. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is really yeah. No, this is we, you know, whoever's on that path, you and whoever else in listening, you stay on that path, because that's where the deeper, higher, richer message is, because you keep going. Just an example, and this is all just hinted or implied, or it invites us to, well, think about that, right? Okay, think about that. And so here's one thing. The idea is that so you have those angels and other forces in creation. When Allah says we, they're acting, they're doing that. But they're not partners. They're not
right.
partners
right.
with Allah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm working with God on this. That. No, you're doing what God told you to do. You are, and God says, and nothing in creation approaches Him except as a servant. So it's like
that's right.
all these forces and all these things that are carrying out quote unquote His will, which also invites another question. His will, they are doing so not as partners. They're doing so as servants, and that those
yes,
kind of nuanced understandings are critical in terms
yes,
of having your perception, your worldview right. See, because if you don't make that twist, then somebody can, you know, feed you a lie and say, yeah, you know what, that's right. Yeah, yeah, they are. They say Allah has no partners. Look at that. No.
Right.
It's not
exactly.
That.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, we got to take a brother Ismail Fahmi. He says, I compare it to the royal weed. Like when the president says we have found a cure for a particular disease, we have lowered the deficit. The president wasn't necessarily directly involved with the accomplishments, but it was under his administration. Allah knows best. Alhamdulillah, I agree. That's a fine example of what we're saying as well. Imam Nazim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. To you, Brother Imam, and to your listening audience. Just wanted to say a couple of quick things. First of all and foremost, happy to be back after a little bit of a hiatus.
Yeah, okay, welcome
hiatus.
Back.
You know, but, you know, mm-hmm. To your comment, I'm not suggesting people do this, you know, but it's so much richer and clearer when you do come back. You hear things that you don't hear on other stations and other wild talks and whatnot now. That's not to say you're the only one and you're the best one, but it's also to give you the uniqueness that you do bring to the table. I've grown accustomed to and grown to put in my diet. But I want to mention the thing that you mentioned and say that it really simplifies the religion, like you said, when the Pope said, let's just go back to basics then, you know, things got chaotic and all out of control and everything. And to hear you say that Allah wanting to forgive and gave examples of his desire, his strong desire to do that and to realize that the only thing that can't be forgiven is when you are guilty of shirk or guilty of association God with God. But everything else, it doesn't say he gives forgive for carte blanche. But it's the only thing that you have to ask the forgiveness for. I mean, I think that really puts it in perspective, like you were saying, and you get the proper perspective going forward that Allah is just saying very simply, hey, you can do these other things. In fact, you're in a world that does it, and it wasn't really necessarily all your fault. You were encouraged, you were seduced, you were tempted, you were all of that. But now when it comes down to worshiping others beside me, now we got the problem. You got to be a little bit more conscious of this. And have a consciousness to not do it, because you may be worshiping your cars, your looks, your children. You may be making all those idols and you're not conscious of it, and you've done it without being conscious of it, but it doesn't excuse you, because that's the unforgivable sin. It just does volumes. It speaks volumes, because it makes you go back and look at things that you may not have been looking at, but it also makes you conscious of, hey, I got to be careful that I don't be guilty of that, because I don't get a pass on that. And I think that's really just vital to hear it in these days and time.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the whole subject is taqwa with regard to that, you know, and it's taqwa, just what you just said. What will enable you to do that? Taqwa. What you said as the thing we got to do, the thing we got to watch out for, the thing we have to be conscious of, what will enable us to do what you said? Taqwa.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If you have taqwa, then it's just like you wake up in the morning or whatever. Sometime in the course of the day, you find yourself sneezing a lot or sniffling a lot, or you feel a little scratchiness in your throat. You know, wait, what's going on? So you know, so taqwa in the same way, you watch out for those little apparent symptoms or suspect symptoms. And said, I need to look into that further, or need to do some preventative stuff, because that may be something coming. And I've said before, and we had a full series on the subject of Satan is an opportunistic disease. Shaitan is an opportunistic disease, right? So if you're in a position where your spiritual immune system has been compromised in some kind of way by some kind of difficulty, challenge, or what have you, well then Shaitan, you know, he can work his way into your spirituality if you're not, you know, aware of that, not if you don't have taqwa regarding that. So that's, again, it's just reinforcing the whole point of, you know, really being conscious in the way that Allah wants us to be conscious. And most of it calls for watching ourselves on the inside. watching how our sentiments, our emotions, our impulses, which direction are they moving in, and the like. And mashallah. So exactly. I mean, so I'm just concurring and amplifying what you're saying.
Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, once again, like I said before, stimulating conversation stimulates us. More stimulating conversation. So,
Alhamdulillah. Likewise. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. All right, alhamdulillah. So, Imam Tariq said excellent points, brother man. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. And also, Imam Shaheed, always present. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. You know, what I decided to do this morning, I'll keep my eyes on the board. If anyone wants to go ahead and punch up, I don't know if I can say it's a little less formal than otherwise. But I wanna literally read some of those hadith that I just mentioned in the khutbah, but I want to read them. Okay, so most of you have this book, Hadith Qudusi, and it's 40 hadith by Izzedine Ibrahim, translated, and Dennis Johnson Davies, selected translation by them, and under the title 40 Hadith Qudusi. Some say Qudusi, some say Qudusi. You choose. We put it on the tomato piece right now. So I just want to read. There are two of them. You know how it goes. We'll get where we get. But I'll mention it. One is number 17, and another is 33 in this, which I mentioned in the khutbah. So let's go. Number 17. On the authority of Abu Dhar al-Ghafari, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that among the sayings he relates from his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorified, and understand this, hadith Qudsi, the difference between hadith Qudsi and the regular hadith, is that the meaning is from the words from the Prophet, the meaning is from Allah. And they can't be used for salat. And Allah speaks in the first person. Allah speaks in the first person. That's which part of what we've been talking about at the beginning with Imam Joel's question. So the hadith goes on. It says, "O my servants, I have forbidden oppression for myself and have made it forbidden amongst you. So do not oppress yourself. But do not oppress one another." So now I look at the others. So don't oppress each other. So don't oppress one another. O my servants, all of you are astray except for those I have guided. So seek guidance of me and I shall guide you. O my servants, all of you are hungry except those I have fed. So seek food from me and I shall feed you. O my servants, all of you are naked except those I have clothed. So seek clothing of me, and I shall clothe you. O my servants, you sin by day and by night, and I forgive all sins. There's that statement again. I forgive all sins. So seek forgiveness of me, and I shall forgive you. Since that's the focus of the topic, I'll go ahead and underline that a little bit. Excuse me. And that is, this is Allah. He's saying, listen, you all sin. So it's like, so this whole idea about thinking that you're not going to sin, that you're not going to sin, it's like, no. It's going to happen, right? And let me say this from the Quran perspective, to keep that context clear. So the believers are those, remember there's Muslims and they're believers. So Allah is, the invitation from Allah is for us to move up from Muslim to believer. So believer is when Allah uses believer, he means the perfect. He means the perfect, the ideal believer. And it's that something that we're all always striving for, inshallah. So we want to be clear. It's an aspiration. To be a believer is an aspiration. It doesn't happen when you say "Shahadu an la ilaha illallah, Shahadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah." You don't become a believer automatically with that declaration. You know that from the surah Hujurat, the inner apartments, 49, the last three verses or so. So you have to move from being a Muslim to being a believer, right? So Quran, when it says that the believer is the one who falls only into small faults, and then they don't justify themselves, right? That's a critical thing. It's like, yes, things are going to happen, but then for believers, they fall into small faults. And then when they do, they don't justify themselves, right? Which is also a critical thing for us to always be aware of. You have to call wrong, wrong. Here's one of the words that I use to express that: sincere. S-I-N-C-E-R-E, right? Sincere, okay? Split the word up, like the other words, sinless. We'll get to it. Sincere, so split it up. Sincere. Fear, you haven't heard the phrase, a searing pain? I felt a searing pain, right? Searing is something that's intense, right? And it's connected most often with the idea of pain, right? So sincere. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the believer is the one whose good deeds please them and evil deeds displease them. The good deeds please them. That was a good thing. I'm glad I did that. The bad thing, that was bad. That was wrong, right? So it's like the sincere is the person who feels the pain of their own wrongdoing, right? Pains of conscience. You hear that? You hear that language, right? So the idea of sincere is from the first expression is you feel the hurt of the wrong that you do. The other one is sincere. Now you take it S-E-E-R, sincere. If you are sincere, then you see sin. Say, oh no, that ain't sin. No, that's sin, right? And you did it, right? So a sincere is what, yeah. That's in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, I don't hold myself to be sinless, because I know the dark suggestions that man's soul makes to him. See, this is why false piety is described in scripture as leprosy. It's a false purity. It's a diseased purity. It's like you want to look like you're trying to portray yourself as though you just dropped out of heaven, right? It's like, yeah, you can move slow. Look around. It's like, you know the drama. It's like, come on now. Everybody has, quote unquote, some sin. I'm going to keep using that word right now because in the atmosphere, that's what it is. But the idea is to kill off the toxic use of that word. So you know that I'm putting the ultraviolet light on it so we can kill that bug. Particularly, inshallah, with the help of Allah. So sincere, you see sin. Yeah, in yourself, and you see it in others, mashallah, to the extent that it's on display. But you don't go digging, looking for people's sin, because the only thing you're going to succeed in is uncovering your own. Okay, so let that go. So sincere, fear, searing pain, seer, right? Fear is that you see sin. When you see sin, you are sincere. If you're sincere, you see it in yourself. You're sincere. You feel the pain of it. And that's it. You're sincere. Let's go to the word sinless, right? The goal in life is not to become sinless, one word. Not to become, can't do it. You can't do it. All right? Sinless. But no. It's to sin less. Separate the word. The goal is to sin less. The goal. Sin less. Because as you sin less, then you are perfecting. You are approaching. You're getting nearer to the ideal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us. And how wonderful is our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This favor, this perfect favor of al-Islam is that, listen, Allah's prophet, peace be upon him, who's our example. He says, follow up an evil deed with a good deed, because the good deed will erase the evil deed and behave well towards people. See, that's abstract for civilization. That is, that's like the imam said, business is accuracy. I'm talking about abstract, something that's simple but goes a long way. Business is accuracy, right? So if your idea is to be in business, then be accurate about whatever. Who's your market? How's your product out the door? What does it take? How many resources do you have? You know, what do you have? Discretionary capital? What do you have? Investment capital? Blah, blah. Whatever you need to know, get exact in terms of that. And then those three that we talked about from the prophet, moderation and expenses, half of economy. Moderation and expenses is half of economy, right? So it's like, it's a simple, but if you apply that simple principle and elaborate it as you go forward, then you're going to be in good shape. Okay, so the idea in terms of sinless, sincere. Okay, let's move on. Let's look at a couple of comments that we have here. Also, beautiful morning here in Atlanta. Alhamdulillah, great, good for you. Enjoy it while it lasts. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alameen. Alhamdulillah, yeah, Christian, what is that? Yeah, Christian told me Jesus died for our sins, so if we believe in him, that's it. We're off the hook. And it says, it's that easy, huh? Yeah, well, that's what they said. But, of course, we know otherwise. So Jesus would not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would not take the innocent for the guilty. And even the Bible, I believe the Bible says that God would not visit the sins of the Father on the Son, and vice versa, I believe. So it's serving another purpose that we'll get to at another time, inshallah. We're taught in Islam that God is a worker himself, and he is working at all times, and that there's not a second that goes by that he is idle. He is active at all times. There is not even the smallest measurement of time that he is not at some marvelous work. If we aren't able to understand it as people of faith, then we can appreciate it as people of science. Science has discovered that this world is not finished because modern science has learned that they thought the creation, blah, 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 blah. You got that, 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 that. I get it. It's like it's always evolving. It's always expanding. There's always new things. It's always new discoveries. Yeah, exactly. This is Quran. Alhamdulillah. So let me go back to this. Go back to the hadith where it says, "Oh my servants, you sin. Oh my servants, you sin by night and by day, and I forgive all sins. So seek forgiveness of me, and I shall forgive you." All my servants, you will not attain harming me so as to harm me, and you will not attain benefiting me so as to benefit me. Oh, my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, were to be as pious as the most pious heart of any one of you, that would not increase my kingdom in anything. That goes back to the point. And this is where I was coming from anyway. That's why I'm reading it, because it was in that context that I was saying it. Because what happens with us don't bother God. What happens with us, what I do, doesn't bother God. And it might be hard for some people to take. But with Allah, I'm talking about Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, the creator of everyone. That one whom the Quran reveals to us that Shaitan said that I will come at them from the right, from the left, from before, from behind, and you'll find most of them unfit. I would cause them to slit the ears of the camel and now creating them false desires, etc. So terrible, horrible, hellish, devilish things that are being done in the world, it is not moving God in any kind of way. It is not moving Allah in any kind of way. Now it's like, if you know, well, he don't care. Listen, this is Allah told the Iblis, who had become Shaitan at that point of rebellion, He said, that is Aliyah Mustaqim. He said, that is destined fitting for my clan. It's like, go ahead. Great, that's your will. Jinn has free, quote unquote, free will. Human being has free will. That jinn, Iblis, decided this is what he's going to do. That's fine. He said, you will not get the mukhlasina lahudi, those who are sincere to the way of life that I have for them, that is remaining true to their nature and be true to the revelation when it comes to them and follow what I've given them, you won't be able to get them. And whoever follows you, I will fill hell with you. This is a this is a big lie that, you know, that people have. I won't give any examples right now. But the idea that all these quote-unquote so-called Satan worshipers and worshipers of Satan, and then they're doing all these dramatic portrayals of this is hell and the devil is in hell and we're down here playing our guitars and dancing around and the fire is going up. No. That's your hell. And your hell that you have described is your pleasure. So that's your hell describing your pleasure. So that's your hell, which is not hell in the final analysis. If you want it, it's not hell. If you want it, it's not hell. Hell is what you don't want. Let's get that straight. In any case, right, this whole lie about I'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven, come on. It's just like, yeah, this is all your standing up on top of the earth talk. That's all you stand up on top of the earth talk. Allah's hell is nothing like what you describe, right? So mashallah. So the idea is that God is not bothered by all the terrible things that happen. Listen to what I'm saying now. It doesn't mean that Allah, there's not a response from the creator of the heavens and the earth for these terrible, horrible things that are done in the world, all of them. You know, genocide, murder, slavery, you know, serial killing, all that. Yeah, there is something happening in relation to that. Whether we see it or not, whether we live to see it or not, nothing is outside of the qadr of Allah. Nothing is outside of the law of Allah. Nothing is outside of consequences that are designed in accordance with Allah's will. You do this. In fact, that was another hadith that I won't go to. But in the end of that hadith where it says, oh, my servant, it is but your deeds that I reckon up and recompense you for. Let him who finds good praise Allah. Let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. Listen, nobody gets away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything. Whether we live to see them get that punishment or not, trust. Something, they're going to pay whatever needs to be paid because everything is going to be weighed to a nicety, and whoever has an atom's weight of good, they're going to get the benefit of it. Whoever has an atom's weight of evil, they're going to suffer the consequences of that. And then Allah's mercy is always there and present over all. And it seems sort of that you have to understand this, you know, somewhere they have some kind of seminarian term for whatever it is that I'm talking about. I don't know it at the moment. But the point is that the whole way of life that we have in al-Islam, this way of looking at life and everything that happens in it through al-Islam, it's like that's where your peace comes from. Your peace comes from, okay, yeah, that's a horrible thing. That's a terrible thing. You know, but you're not blown apart by it. You're not undermined. You don't fall into depression and anxiety, etc. You recognize that Allah is always present at all times, never absent at any time. And so it's like, look, there's certain things that are Allah's business. Certain things that are outside of your pale. You remember the story of Abraha coming to destroy. Read that story with the context for the chapter of the elephant. Coming to destroy the Kaaba, and Abdul Muttalib, you know, going to get his camels. And Abraha asked him, you here asking me about camels, and we're going to destroy your sacred place. He said, that house belongs to Allah. That house belongs to Allah. Camels belong to me. So I'm going to I'm coming in for my camels. Allah take care of that, and the rest is history. So I just wanted to be clear on not getting into a state of mind where you can be led to doubt the presence of God, the reality of God, by someone giving you the wrong understanding of the travesties and the horrible things that human beings are doing on earth. And somebody said, how can there be a God? How can there be a God? See, that's Shaitan talking right there. Allah is ever present, and nobody gets away with anything. And so let's finish this. Let's finish this report. It says, first of you and last of you, the human of you, jinn of you, as pious as the pious one. That's the other thing. No matter how righteous you think you are, that also is that doesn't change Allah. Your righteousness don't change it. You make all your prayers perfectly every day. You think that changes Allah? You think that Allah? He moved me with that. No, that's for you. That's for you. Given that you do it, but that's only to maintain your humanity and move closer to the perfection of your originality from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. But beyond that, that's it. Let's move on. So all my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you, the jinn of you, was to be as wicked as the wicked heart of any one of you, that would not decrease my kingdom in anything. All my servants. Oh, this is the hadith that has that in it. All my servants, were the first of you, the last of you, the human of you, the jinn of you, were to rise up in one place and make a request of me, and were I to give everyone what he requested, that would not decrease what I have any more than a needle decreases the sea if put into it. That goes to zakat too. We talk about zakat. It's like, let me give this to God. No. You've given it for yourself. You've given it for yourself. You can give to the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can give in recognition of Allah's rights in what he gave you. He already owns everything, you and everything that you own. Allah owns it. But the idea is you submitted your will to his will, then as a part of your service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are taking the grace in recognizing his grace to you and recognizing your obligation through that grace to serve, to contribute it for the service of Allah's plan of building on the earth his will in reality. Well, then, yeah, you do that. And it also is a purification for us in that process. So you're not giving it to God. How can you give to anyone who owns everything? There's nothing. You can't. Allah, he's the only one that owns everything. So much for that. So it says, it will not decrease what I have any more than if you put a needle in it. It's decreasing the sea if you put it into it. Oh, my servants, it is but your deeds that I reckon up and recompense you for. So let him who finds good praise Allah, and let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. Right? So the idea is we don't add to God. We don't take away from God. Our goodness doesn't add to God. Our, quote-unquote, sins doesn't take away from God. Our charity doesn't make God bigger. Our withholding doesn't make Allah smaller. Listen, Allah is not moved by anything and anything that we do. It's we who are moved by what we do. And it's all under the rule and order and the law of Allah. Speaking of quote-unquote sin, again, when the Quran says that in much suspicion is sin, in much suspicion is sin, right? not looking at the verse right now, but from that verse, you also come to understand. I think sin, it speaks about sin as a crime or sin as a hurt. The message is that in the act itself carries the consequences. Someone does something, the act itself carries the consequences in it, right? And so it's not like someone's got to come and get you and whatever it is. like, no, the act itself already is carrying with it, is already carrying with it the consequences, right? So the idea is to protect ourselves from that thinking that we're somehow getting away with whatever it is that we're getting away with. So let's move on. Then I'm going to go to the next hadith. Now, somebody is starting to look like khutbahs. It's a khutbah. You need to get on the line, and inshallah, we get to it. I read this time, Brother James. Imam Muhammad's endorsing comments regarding the language revelation, classical Arabic language instruction, and exercise in Quran, by Sadiq Jihad, I want to bring our attention and achievement of publication. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah. May Allah continue to bless my brother. Now, hold on for a second. Let me show you something. Y'all don't go nowhere, huh? Let me show you this. This is the book that my brother is talking about. This is the book he's talking about. From my brother Sadiq. But please, don't use the forum just to promote a particular idea. My brother Ben Bilal, none has done it for any time or a while. But since we had this opportunity, let me go ahead and do this. I love my brothers. I love my workers. I love those who are serving Allah, students of Imam Wazidi Muhammad. And everybody, and there's so many that have their merit. There are those that I rocked with in the time of Imam Muhammad. I, quote unquote, those who are still among us, I rock with them now. It's like, look, work me in your places. That's what it just said. Everybody just got to work in their places. And the way that you support the people who you support their work on the platforms that they have provided for their work. Do that. That's very important. So that's the best and the kindest way I can say it. Trust. I agree. I concur. It is one of the best books that I've seen compiled for the language of the Quran. Very, very well put together. Alhamdulillah. But please don't use this platform as a means of promoting the other platforms. That's just what I'm not against nobody. I'm not mad. I'm not jealous. I'm whatever. I love those who serve this. But let's just keep the platform for what the platform is for. That's the best I can do with that right now. Okay? And you know I love you. I love your presence, Brother James. Alhamdulillah. I think it's American Express commercial. I don't know you, but I love you. Alhamdulillah. All right, let's move on. Authority of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, was said, from among the things of his reports to his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, a servant of Allah committed a sin and said, O Allah, forgive me my sin. And he, glorified and exalted, said, my servant has committed a sin and has known that he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes for them. Then he sinned again and said, O Lord, forgive me my sin. And he, Allah, said, my servant has committed a sin and has known that he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes for them. Then he sinned again and said, O Lord, forgive me my sin. And he, the glorified, said, my servant has committed a sin and has known that he has a Lord who forgives sin and punishes for sin. Do what you wish, for I have forgiven you. So this is Allah. And when Imam explained that on another occasion, he said, the man was ORs. I always get a laugh when I do that in the public audiences. Because there's enough people who've been to jail, you know, have been to court in our communities. Y'all know it. They say you got OR, right? They know what you're talking about. You're released on your own recognizance. And the Imam expressed it in that way, too. Allah has released us all who believe in him. Anyway, but the believer, particularly and officially, that is the Muslim believer. Let's keep that qualification on that. The Muslim believer particularly has been OR. You've been OR. You released on your own recognizance. It is but your deeds that I reckon up and recompense you for. Let him who finds good praise Allah. Let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. So, alhamdulillah. So, when the Quran says, Bella, man aslama, wajahu lillah, wa huwa muhsin, falahu ajruhum inda rabbihim, la khawfun alayhim, wa lahum yahzanun. Nay, whosoever submits their whole self to Allah and is a doer of good, they have their reward with their Lord. On such shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. That's the life of a Muslim believer, right? I use that to say we're on that trajectory. We're moving from Muslim to believer, inshallah, striving to get to that place where we can become a pure believer, inshallah, God willing. So mashallah, those are actually the two hadith that I wanted to read today and just bring to your attention. As in support of the khutbah from yesterday. But beyond that, I'm pretty much done for the moment. Anybody who has any question on Blog Talk, push one on your phone, come on through for your final comments. And any other further comments for those of you who are with us online, well, everybody's online one way, on YouTube, Facebook, et cetera. You are welcome. All right, you know how we auction this time off. Going once. Research video, any other comments? All right, Nazim, you're still punched up. If you don't have a comment, go ahead and push one so I can be sure that I'm not ignoring you. All right. So, everybody, may Allah have mercy on us, guide us to the best. God's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.